All right. So, look, moving on from where we are. This is a graph I used to help the congregation manage their expectations. This largely came about because I realised I needed to, just an easier way of communicating things. There was one mission we ran at Christchurch Fallon where I got a fair amount of vehement pushback from one person who thought that what we had done was appalling. Now, look, he probably had a point. I was using it more pre-evangelistically than evangelistically, and that, you know, Christianity school, to which we were heading, would be the place where the gospel got most clearly communicated. His observation was we did a lot of kind of pre-evangelistic stuff. And I think that's fair. I mean, some of it was probably communication, some of it was probably gutlessness from me, some of it was just young man with lots of opinions from him. But this is, I think this is helpful. So this is what I use to help manage people's expectations. You can change this. A traffic light thing might be something like that. I talk about level 0, level 1, level 2, level 3. Level 0 is a non-gospel social. Level 1 is a gospel social. Level 2 is an apologetic. Level 3 is a gospel. It's not strictly a progression because gospel social to apologetic is a bit odd in terms of progression. But it's trying to explain what to expect of a particular event. So a non-gospel social would be something like Frisbee in the Park. It's just a non-gospel social. It's basically Christians getting together with non-Christians. It's fine. Just invite them. We're playing Frisbee. Why are people coming? Well, they're probably coming for the friendship. Perhaps they're coming for the Frisbee. Who knows? Playing touch rugby, like Andy does on a Saturday morning. It's a non-gospel social. Okay, it might be organized by some church guys. There'll be a handful of church guys there, by which I mean men and women. But it's non-gospel social. Now, in one sense, church shouldn't have to be organizing this, or rather, put it this way, it's not something you want the elders to be talking about and, you know, advertising. It, you know, it's someone in the church family who says, you know what, I love knitting. I'm just getting, if we just knit. The girls had that. I can't remember what they called it. I think they called it, they may even have called it Bitch and Stitch. I can't remember. But it was something like that. Level 1 is the gospel social. So in other words, it is social. It's primarily social, but there's gospel in there. Not a whole load, not a clear exposition of the cross, but it is a gospel. So for example, a pub quiz. So when we ran our pub quiz, we would absolutely have a quiz. It's a great quiz. Pete Matthews used to do it. Ed Drew used to do it. It's just brilliantly, hysterically funny. Halfway through, or the one before the final round, I'd be up on my feet, or Pete would be up on his feet, and he'd say, guys, we spent the entirety of our time looking for answers to questions in order to win. I just want to tell you, there are some questions that are so big that you've got to know what the answers are. Otherwise, actually, you'll be a complete loser. Or whatever it is. But in other words, we're a church that exists to help people find answers to questions. Here are some of the big questions of life. What happens when I die? Why did you come? How can I know? You know, how can I be secure for it? All those things. So in other words, they're coming for the activity. So you've got to run a brilliant pub quiz. It's got to be great. So about when we were about it, the great thing about it was that the pub wanted us to do it more frequently than we were willing to do. And we used to do it about once a term. Though I'm not sure we spent a whole load behind the bar, but never mind. The next thing is an apologetic. It's a level 2.
So sorry, you were just teeing that up. That was literally the bomb to the entirety of the chat, the talk.
Yes.
It wasn't answering any of the questions. It was just saying, hey, there's some big questions. Do you want to find out more?
Yeah.
We're a church.
It's more of an advert.
Yeah.
More of an advert. But it is an advert. You know, I want to go a fraction further than everyone would be comfortable with, but not so far that everyone's really irritated. So you are pushing the boundaries. In other words, you've got to give them sufficient reason to do that. And you want to give people a hook in terms of conversation and stuff. But the bottom line is they are coming for the activity. So the overrun. So their impression is we've had a great pub quiz. Okay, there was that bloke in the middle who probably, you know, said a little bit too much. But I think I've got, it's 5 to 10, it's not 10 to 15, I think. The apologetic is clearly, it's an issue. And the reason that people are coming is because they want an answer to that question. So, you know, why does God allow suffering? That's pretty clear. You know, how can I have hope in a world where, you know, we're at the say-so of a Russian dictator? You know, that's the reason people, they're coming because they want to hear that issue explored in some depth. When we had the IRA camp, we had, Simon Pegg organized it. So we had a guy who came to talk about forgiveness. And actually, I think he wasn't an IRA guy, he was...
Someone in Hamilton?
It might have been, whose daughter died, I can't remember. But anyway, in other words, come to talk about forgiveness. And you were gripped by the potential to hear that story. That's the issue of forgiveness was the thing that you came for. And so your apologetic evening, you absolutely got to tackle that. Now, I'm not saying anything about where you do this or when you do this. So we one year we ran Balance Big Questions. We set up a website, went out to the streets. What are the three biggest questions you've got? And you're allowed to submit the answers. And we said we will tackle them in church over 3 consecutive weeks. That kind of thing. We do that. The gospel, level 3, for example, Christianity Explored, other courses are available. Now look, why are they coming? They come from the truth. They want to know what's what. That's why they're there. The faffing around, the fishing, the baiting, the sort of the dabbling. I need to know, what is this thing? Now I think you can run a variety of events in a term or in a year that hit those bases with some progression, but you want to be getting here. But in one sense, 2 and 3 are that's the core business of church. 0 and 1, if you've got a fully functioning, active church community, you probably don't need to organise stuff or instigate it. And even with gospel socials, perhaps not. But sometimes as a concession to non-Christians, sometimes it's quite helpful to organise this, particularly if you've got a bit of a staff team and you can put something on, you know it's going to work, and so on. So from this list, where would you put the things we've talked about? So let's start with the Summerfest. What would you say that was?
Gospel social.
Yeah. Either 0 or 1, isn't it? So for us, the park party was a 1, because people were coming for the party, but we did open their church. So it was there, but it just wasn't for everyone. Yeah. The churches of Hounslow, Good Friday procession.
I think it's a 3. It just didn't attract many unbelievers. I mean, so the gospel was there. They very clearly shared, but it just wasn't. It was all for Christians.
Yeah. Yeah. Perhaps that deserves a category all on its own. What about the Roots of Jazz? What would you say Roots of Jazz was?
Level 1.
Yeah. Mandela's Bodyguard?
Probably 1.
Yeah. The Concord Pilot, similar. The International Food Festival at CCM.
Wow, I think maybe it's 2.
Yeah.
How God allows suffering and its main topic about suffering and
I'm trying to remember how it was advertised. I think I knew I wasn't just coming for the food.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was set with
a cold book in the darkness.
I thought hope was
it's apologetic.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, so look, I think that's helpful in terms of your planning and it's just looking at your program saying, hang on a second, we are completely gutless. We never get round to the gospel. Or rather, where are non-Christians going to encounter the gospel? Or looking at this thinking, why are we pouring so much effort into running frisbee stitching and whatever? Mums and toddlers, where would you put that?
0.
Yeah, but that's the discussion, isn't it? That's the discussion you've got to have. So where does Monks and Toddlers sit? What is our vision of Monks and Toddlers? And it's got to be, it's a key mum. And the key mums, where do you want it? Do you want it zero or one? Actually, we want it at one. Okay, how are you going to get it at one? Well, we're going to do this. Okay, brilliant. So actually, you're making sure it's different to other Monks and Toddlers. So that it's helpful, isn't it? Just to making sure that you're pushing a little bit further to get more gospel in. Okay, a few minutes left. Also, here you go. How to create an invitational culture. So in other words, we'll think about how we train a congregation, but just in terms of creating an invitational culture, I think at CCM they did it really well. The two events that were advertised, we knew what they were, we knew what they were called, we knew what would happen, we understood it. So just get people to prayerfully interact with it. So in other words, pray for it as people did. Both from the front, but also perhaps in your prayer meeting or your small groups, get people to pray. Encourage prayerful interaction. Get to that point where you can say to people, why don't you write down names of three people you think could come or you're going to invite and pray for them. To create an invitational culture, get people prayerfully interacting with your program and thinking, who do I know who could come? And allow space for that, just people to think and to think outside their box. So, for example, when I was at Balham, I played rugby. So I was thinking, actually, of the guys that I know, who could I get to those things? Who would that work for? Okay, but I'm not just rugby, we've got school. Oh, hang on a second. So Digby's friends' parents, Flora's friends' parents, Rufus's friends' parents, actually, who would this work for? Okay, just you have to stop and think, don't you? So provide that opportunity. Secondly, create multiple entry points so that different people at different stages with different interests can climb onto the pathway towards faith. In other words, some people come in at the apologetic and they're just there. They're a big thinker. That's fine. Just make sure you've got stuff there. But other people are like, they are so far back. Actually, what they need to do is encounter Christians. And then beyond that, they need to encounter church. Or rather the church not meeting formally, but the church doing something different and perhaps a meal or whatever. But just think to yourself, what have we got in our program that provide multiple entry points for different people so that at some point everyone in the congregation could invite someone to something. And then thirdly, which is fairly obvious, isn't it? Urge Christians to invite them to come along. In other words, make the ask. Actually teach people what they need to do. I think the danger is we can make an assumption that people know what to do. Because you're putting on an event. Obviously, things are an event. But work on the assumption that people don't know what to do. And for example, we've got this evening. So you might want to think about your colleagues at work for whom an evening listening to Mandela's Bodyguard would be hugely interesting. He's going to cover a whole lot of things about, give us an insight into Nelson Mandela himself, the situation. Invite. Actually, why not make the invite? It could be you send an email, but actually that's a bit impersonal. Why don't you actually invite them? We've got some cards here. Why not use these? Just, in other words, teach your grandmother to suck eggs. Don't work on the assumption that everyone knows how to do it because they don't. But actually urge people, challenge them. Have you asked anyone? Will you ask anyone? Those kind of things. So that's how to create invitational culture. Three key lessons. I think it is a brilliant way to get lots of people on board. In other words, if you're saying we are a church that exists for the sake of the salvation of people outside our church community, to the glory of God, you want to invite people to be involved in that. You want them to get them on board. And the great thing is they're not all doing the same thing, but they can be working towards the same end. So it comes back to that point I made earlier about different gifts, people contributing in different ways. So for example, on Mums and Toddlers, actually what you need is some mature Christian women in there who haven't got children. And they are possibly just serving refreshments or they're befriending people because they haven't got to worry about their child, so they can actually have a conversation with someone. Now that's using different people differently. It's not just down to the mothers who've got the kids who are worried about what their kids are doing. You've got people who are a little bit older, a little bit more comfortable in themselves, perhaps, to be able to say, you know, look, have you thought about coming to church? Or, you know, or whatever. Secondly, tricky lessons, it's not a conveyor belt to success. Invariably, the progress of faith takes time. So don't expect great results straight away. It's some of that building momentum, building confidence, providing a pathway. So don't change things up too quickly. So try and make good decisions early. Reflect on stuff honestly afterwards. That was a complete disaster, wasn't it? We had no non-Christians there. Why is that? You know, talk about that. Think about it. But try to get to a point where there is a pathway and you're thinking through what could work, what should work, how would we design this? Thirdly, I think this is just worth saying, isn't it, that providing programs doesn't mean that relationships don't matter. In other words, we can program church to put things on and people can come. And we may as well be a West End theatre. We don't really want to have any meaningful relationships with people come, we just want bums on seats. It's not a zero-sum game. What we're saying is, no, relationships really matter. And we want to provide a context in which those relationships can be pursued and you can get gospel traction in the midst of them. So you might need to hit that one on the head every now and again, where people think, counseling, we've become a church that runs programs rather than that people. I'm going to say it's both and. But hear the criticism. If people are thinking, you know, look, all it looks like is we're just required to invite people to stuff. You need to hear that and deal with it. Small church invitation list. So inevitably, most church plants will start small, and therefore you've got to ramp back your expectations for what you think you can pull off. So I want to say, first of all, it's not an event. Sunday works. Don't step away from the idea that people can invite people to church on Sunday and should. Sunday is a shop window into what you're doing as a church in trying to move people from being totally disinterested unbelievers to fully devoted disciples through that engaging, evangelizing, edifying, establishing, equipping thing. So Sunday works. Sunday, you've got all the key components there. You've got Christians interacting with one another, confession of sin, reassurance with the gospel, people getting excited about something other than themselves or their families or football. Because they're singing. There's an opportunity for meaningful engagement. There's an opportunity for informal conversations afterwards. Sunday really works. So I would say put effort into Sunday, not so that it's high end, but so that everything that happens within it is thoughtful and meaningful. And don't be scared of anything. Would you like to come to church? So don't miss out on that. And it's, in one sense, given that you're running Sunday anyway, why not use it, not primarily, because 1 Corinthians 14 tends to hint at, it's not peripherally, but you've got 1 Corinthians 14 works on Sunday, you've got non-Christians there, and it needs to make sense if it's going to be of any value to them. So make Sunday valuable as a potential opportunity for people. Secondly, you probably know this, invite people to meals, because meals, food wins. So there's lots of things that small church can't do, but what church can do is food. So food with everything. Summer barbecue, Christmas, Monday, Thursday meal, Jubilee lunch, summer picnic, fireworks. Just do whatever, but do it with food and provide those opportunities. Now, it might be that you don't want to have a fireworks evening in which you say, you know, 5 reasons why Catholics are wrong. But you could do a fireworks evening in which you do take the opportunity just to give a bit of the history, and particularly if you've got someone who's good at engaging kids. You know, I don't know, but I imagine someone like Ed Drew would do that brilliantly. You think about how do we talk about doing fireworks night with food and the kids, and we get the gospel in there because, you know, for whatever reason. So look, it's hard to turn down an invitation to something where there's food involved. And most churches can do that well, small churches can do that well, because it's not too overwhelming. Thirdly, I invite people to one-to-one because the Bible is fascinating. We had a phrase a couple of weeks ago. Let's not lose the challenge that he set before us to think about that as an option. And not only us, but encouraging others in our congregation. A small church can do that well, and small churches can train people to do it well. So with it, when at Peckham, what we do is we taught people how to do, do you know the light bulb, the question mark, arrow? I think it's called the Swedish method, which just to me just sounds dodgy. But it's that kind of, it's not, I'm the teacher, you're the learner, and I ask you questions and you answer them and I sit in judgment. It's two people looking at the Bible together saying, hey, what shines out as being hugely significant in this passage? Or what's the question I've got with this passage? Or where is this taking us in terms of, you know, how we're meant to respond? That one-to-one thing is the potential to do that together. And you can train people in doing that because you don't need huge numbers. Fourthly, invite people to lunch because hospitality is attractive. In other words, just get in the habit. You know, so you know, most weeks, our kids grew up with other people at church on Sunday. It's just normal. And then we realised a while ago, we weren't doing that quite so much. Why is that? We're no longer the senior pastor of the congregation, no longer a church planter. And you know, Sundays isn't there, but expect your home to be open, people to be sat in. On Sunday for lunch, I know it's chaos, I know the kids kick off, they all misbehave, that's fine, it's fine. It's normal. It's what their family does, it's what your family does. They just discover you're normal like them, but you've got resources to help you cope with that. But open people to lunch, because actually conversations can take place. So those are the kind of the four, small church invitational events. Comments, queries, questions, otherwise I'm going to hand over to Tom. I think what I'm saying is events, they're valuable, but don't kill yourself. Just make sure that there's a clear rationale for doing them. Understand the context, understand what you've got, who you've got, understand what people will come to and what they won't come to. And find someone else other than yourself to organise them. Happy? Let me pray. Father, help us to be creative, imaginative as we think about the kinds of things we put on in our context. To be compassionate towards non-Christians, to provide them with that anonymous opportunity to encounter the gospel in a context in which they can meaningfully do that. Help us to think about what that might look like. Help us to spark off one another. Give us people who love organising stuff. Help us make good judgment calls in terms of what we do, when we do it, how we do it. But Father, we long to run churches that meaningfully engage with non-Christians, provides opportunities for traction and opportunities for gospel conversations to take place such that people become followers of the Lord Jesus. So help us to work out how we might do that better, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.